Macy's. You're with Julian on the Brown Note and a review of Roadhouse. So Roadhouse in 1989 has become, well, according to, I think, cable TV, the most watched film on cable TV in 2020. The legacy of the film is huge. It has become synonymous with the style of movies in the 80s. The 80s threw up certain paradigms of movies that have really held up. And one of those is the teen movie. I don't think there's another decade in history that has done the teen movie the way that the 80s teen movies. I'm not a fan of The Breakfast Club, but it's, you know, iconic, Pretty in Pink, Ferris Bueller. I don't think any other decade has done the same thing, but also the action movies and particularly the B movies. So not Terminator 2, not Aliens, but things like Commando or Cobra. No other decade seemed to get the mix right. And I am a big aficionado of crap films. And I, you know, I do watch Under Siege 2 occasionally. Seagal was up there for a few films. There's a balance in getting a bad, most even Seagal films are terrible, but there's like three or four that are actually tip over to getting the balance of everything being terrible but brilliant at the same time right. And arguably the highest of all is Roadhouse, and particularly because it was such a great starring vehicle for Patrick Swayze, who died with an unembellished universal love. People really, really loved him and thought he was super cool. And it didn't matter whether he'd been in good films or bad films. He didn't really tarnish anything about himself. And Roadhouse is like the highest of his B-movie 80s action films. Directed by the perfectly named Rowdy Harrington, with a great Sam Elliott and Ben Gazzara, who is amazing, and Kelly Lynch. I saw it not long ago, and it is a fantastic film. And a lot of it is terrible in certain ways, but not when you look at it from other way round. You know, there's something to be said about B movies that get everything right. So when they announced they were remaking it with Jake Gyllenhaal, a lot of people cried and went into labor, and lots of bad things happened. How dare they touch this unimpeached? And given the fact that when modern people, what the modern remake cycle has been so bad, as denoted in an episode of South Park recently, about the parody, about the Pandaverse, and it seems to be taking intellectual property right with an existing fan base from 20 years ago and make all the lead characters women and multi-ethnic and crucially make a terrible film and then call everyone a racist and a sexist when it's not successful, seems to happen quite a lot these days. So no one had any, and Jake Gyllenhaal as well, I immediately was interested when Jake Gyllenhaal was cast as a Patrick Swayze character, because he has heavyweight films on his books, like Enemy, Nightcrawler. He's done, and you know, Donnie Darko. He's done a lot of artier end of the spectrum, Zodiac, where he's played darker characters in very serious films. And then he's done stuff like Prince of Persia, and the odd one where he's been a muscle-bound guy and doing that stuff. So it was a really interesting choice, I thought, straight off the bat. And Doug Liman, how many of his films have I liked? Well, Swingers, obviously. Go, obviously. The Bourne Identity. He's got a great filmography. The Bourne Identity. Jumper. Edge of Tomorrow. American Made wasn't too bad. I can't remember if I saw Lockdown or Chaos Walking. But he's got a really interesting filmography all over the shop. This is a remake. So it's set in the Florida Keys. And the storyline is the same as the first film, to a degree. So Patrick Swayze is touring America in his beaten up car, and we get an indication that he's an ex-UFC fighter who has a very troubled past, who turns up at winner-takes-all fighting competitions. People recognize him. as this MMA slight legend, and then won't fight him, and he just walks off with the money. And he goes to the next town and does the same thing. We find out when he parks his car on the train tracks in a, you know, Toinkos, am I going to die? With the car being completely destroyed, but him surviving, that he has had something really bad happen to him. We sort of find out that he was fighting one of his friends in a title fight in the ring on TV and had won the fight, but had exploded in rage. And after the bell and the fight had been stopped, he'd punched his friend and killed him, and had been borderline suicidal and drifter ever since. Then we get, who's the character? I'm not sure exactly which actress plays who in here, because hardly anyone in this film is famous. But we get the owner of a bar in Florida Keys on the coast, who is being hounded by an unscrupulous property developer. I think Billy Magnussen is a great actor, actually. I don't know that many films that they've been in, but I do remember them from The Big Short, where he played this out-of-his-depth mortgage seller who was riding the wave of the impending global financial crisis. He's always stuck out in everything. Game Night, he was in Game Night as well. He stars as a property developer that wants to develop the entire coast, and there's this one holdout bar. It's a very similar setup. So at the start of Patrick Swayze being hired as a new bouncer, we see the local Hells Angels come in and Swayze beat them all up. The new Swayze. I think one downside that a lot of critics have picked up on this is the fighting is up there as the most important element, and a lot of it looks very CGI, and that's probably the biggest slight I've got about the film. The whole fight sequence where he ends up taking everyone to hospital, I thought was imbued with a self-awareness and sense of humor which really floated the film for me. I thought Jake Gyllenhaal was excellent in this film. So he beats everyone up, and they're all sort of moaning and complaining about their injuries, and he's just he takes them to the hospital. And when he's at the hospital, he meets Daniela Melchior. Again, I don't know her, who's Ellie, and that's the love interest as well. That's the Kelly Lynch character this time around. And he makes friends with the owners of a local bookstore, and, you know, thaws and becomes more of a person and learns what it is to love again. And the whole plot is generic and rote, and you know the whole thing from start to finish. The only real... Well, here's the famous guy that... Joaquin Del Almeida... Joaquin D. Almeida has been in enormous amount of films, and you would have seen them. What's his most famous films? Clear and Present Danger, Desperado, The Villain for one season of 24, Herman Reyes in the Fast Five. Very, very well-known actor. They're the local sheriff instead of the villain, which I thought was really strange casting. And the dad of the love interest. The spanner in the works here is Conor McGregor, the UFC fighter turning up in his first acting role, who plays a sociopathic counterpoint to the Jake Gyllenhaal fighter. I'm in two minds about him in the film, because I thought the film's tone was really well established, and he only appears in the last probably quarter of the film. And it's a two-hour film. It's not one of these that taps out after 90 minutes because it's got nothing. And I thought the tone and the style had settled really quite well. I've got nothing against Conor McGregor's performance here. A lot of sports people, come into films that are terrible. They're so bad. I didn't think he was. The only problem I had is it kind of shifts the whole tone of the movie into being a lot more sort of a broad comedy. And I don't know if I like that aspect of it as much. But they do have some good encounters along the way, and he is a total psycho. It just felt a little bit more like the Fast and the Furious franchise when he arrived. So I'm not sure that I thought that was the strongest element. But overall, they've done a really terrific job in recreating an 80s feeling action B-movie. And it really does feel like the 80s as well. They don't do the Pandaverse thing at all. It's often quite amusing. I thought Jake Gyllenhaal was pitch perfect throughout as the stoic yet wryly quite funny guy who's also troubled and so on. The look of it is very good in the Florida Keys, him going around and, you know, he has this dinner date with Daniela Melchior. Where they go out into the ocean and they put these chairs and tables in the ocean because it's only like this deep. And it looked fantastic. And there's lots of cool stuff about that kind of thing going on. And I did like the Billy Magnussen character as well. As a guy that's pressured by his dad. His dad's in jail and controls everything. But he's not quite up to it. And he's sort of being bullied to do it all. And the denouement's quite cool as well. And the like the boat chase and everything that goes on is good. So I love this film. And it's very rewatchable. I'm definitely going to watch it again. It's a great deal of fun. It is a pitch-perfect throwback to those 80s films. And I'm going to give it an 8.5 out of 10 because I know that I'm going to watch this film a few times. I might revise that on subsequent viewings. But I thought they got everything pretty right. We don't get someone's throat grabbed out this time, unfortunately. But we do get some... I thought the actual... the final actions in the fight between McGregor and... Jake Gyllenhaal were actually really good. So a ridiculously high over the top, just because I'm excited. 8.5 out of 10 for Roadhouse.